And I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner and not a whiner. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I said I'm a doer and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. All right. Turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, next to you, and say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. Now turn to somebody and tell them, God loves you and so do I. We have a lot of people out this morning. They're going to miss out on a good feast. Don't forget, after service, we're having our Thanksgiving dinner in the back, the fellowship hall, so please stay and partake and fellowship with one another. Amen? All right, church, if you're with us this morning, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. As you turn there again, the Bible says, merry heart doeth good like medicine. I got some medicine for you this morning. A four-year-old boy who was asked to return thanks before Christmas dinner. The family members bowed their heads in expectation. He began his prayer thanking God for his friends, named them one by one. Then he thanked God for mommy and daddy, his brother, his sister, grandma, grandpa, all of his aunts and uncles. Then he began to thank God for the food. He gave thanks for the turkey, the dressing, the fruit salad, the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cakes, even the Cool Whip. Then he paused and everyone waited and waited, and a long silence, and the young fellow looked up at his mother and asked, if I thank God for the broccoli, won't he know I'm lying? Johnny, a very bright five-year-old, told his daddy he'd like to have a baby brother, and along with his request, offered to do whatever he could do to help. His dad, a very bright 35-year-old, paused for a moment and then replied, I'll tell you what, Johnny, if you pray every day for 2 months for a baby brother, I guarantee you that God will give you one. Johnny responded eagerly to his dad's challenge and went to his bedroom early that night to start praying for a baby brother. He prayed every night for a whole month, but after that time, he began to get skeptical. He checked around the neighborhood and found out that what he thought was going to happen had never occurred in the history of the neighborhood. You just don't pray for 2 months and then whammo, a new baby brother. So Johnny quit praying. After another month, Johnny's mother went to the hospital. When she came back home, Johnny's parents called him into the bedroom. He cautiously walked in the room, not expecting to find anything. And there was a little bundle lying right next to his mother. His dad pulled back the blankets, and there was not one baby brother, but two. His mother had twins. Johnny's dad looked at him and said, now, aren't you glad you prayed? Johnny hesitated a little and looked up at his dad and said, yeah, but aren't you glad I quit when I did? Amen. 'Twas the night of Thanksgiving, but I just couldn't sleep. I tried counting backwards. I tried counting sheep. The leftovers beckoned, the dark meat in white, but I fought the temptation with all of my might. Tossing and turning with anticipation, the thought of a snack became infatuation. So I raced to the kitchen, flung open the door, and gazed at the fridge full of goodies galore. I gobbled up turkey and buttered potatoes, pickles, carrots, beans, and tomatoes. I felt myself swelling so plump and so round, till all of a sudden I rose off the ground. I crashed through the ceiling, floating into the sky, with a mouthful of pudding and a handful of pie. But I managed to yell as I soared past the trees, happy eating to all past the cranberries, please. May your stuffing be tasty, may your turkey be plump, may your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious, may your pies take the prize. May your Thanksgiving dinner stay off of your thighs. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Living Translation says, always keep on praying no matter what happens. Always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. He didn't say we had to pray and give thanks for all the bad things, but he said, in the midst of everything, give thanks because you know God is working in your behalf. Amen? Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. I'm reading this to you from the Living Translation. It says, as Jesus was passing through Jericho, a man named Zacchaeus, one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business, and of course a very rich man, tried to get a look at Jesus. But he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree beside the road to watch from there. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down, for I am going to be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus hurriedly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, sir, from now on I will give half my wealth to the poor. And if I find I have overcharged anyone on his taxes, I will penalize myself by giving him back four times as much. Jesus told him, this shows that salvation has come to his home today. This man was one of the lost sons of Abraham, and I, the Messiah, have come to search for and to save such souls as his. There was a definite change in his life after he encountered Jesus. Amen? Amen. Church, we have so much to be thankful for today. We really do. Even all the things we're going through, we're still blessed more than two-thirds of the world today. Amen? An attitude of gratitude opens up our lives for God's will to be done in and through us. I'm going to say that again. An attitude of gratitude opens up our lives. You want God to move in your life? Then you need to be thankful for what God's already done in your life and what God is doing in your life right now. Amen? Amen. Edward Spencer was a ministerial student in Illinois and also a member of a life-saving squad during his school years. In 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan, and Spencer waded again and again into frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever bothered to thank him. Church, that was just gross lack of gratitude. Amen? Amen. He risked his life, but not one of them ever came back and thanked him. Church, especially as believers, we need to be aware that gratitude opens up our lives for God's will to be done in and through us. This is one of my favorite holidays of the year, Thanksgiving. Because its beginning and its history have a single purpose, to stop and express thanks. And church, if there's anything we in America don't do enough, we are not thankful enough for what we do have. Amen? We always remind God what He's not doing, what we don't have, but we forget what we do have and thank God for what we do have. Amen? Although our gratitude is actually to be 24/7 attitude. Not just one day on the holiday, the fourth Thursday in November. But it's supposed to be 24/7. Amen. I don't care how bad it is. You know, I sometimes murmur and complain about my job, and then God reminds me, thank God you have a job. Amen. No matter how bad it is in your life, you've got something to be thankful for. And it's that thankful attitude that's going to open up the door for God to be able to move and do what He wants to do in your life. If you're all bitter and you're all shut down, God can't get in your life and do what He wants to do. Amen? Like I said, being thankful is it's like a door or a portal through which God can lead us to experience His perfect will. And simply put, without it, we'll miss what God has in store for us. It's important for us to understand where gratitude and being thankful fit in, where they belong in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us straight up that in everything we are to give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When was the last time you thanked somebody? When was the last time you thanked God? When was the last time you showed someone how much you appreciated them? We don't have no problem when they get on our nerves and let them know how much they bother us, do we? You'd be amazed what a little gratitude would do sometimes, church. A 24/7 attitude of gratitude is God's desire for our lives. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Why should I be thankful for what's happening in my life? You know, you ever stop and think of it, maybe a lot of what's happening in your life because of what you've done, the choices you've made. Amen? Maybe it's not God's fault. Maybe it's not other people's fault. Maybe it's your fault. Amen? But thank God, God loves you enough not to leave you there. And if you get the right attitude, God will begin to work on you and do what He wants to do to fulfill His plan and His purpose for your life. Amen? So today, my task is to determine our GQ, our gratitude quotient. Do you have an attitude of gratitude this morning? Scriptures tell us there are five specific areas in which our lives, in our lives, and during which we should be thankful. Number one, we need to be thankful in our blessings. The Bible says not to forget all His benefits. Sometimes we forget. Thank God you're here today. You didn't think you'd make it this far. The things you went through, you thought would overcome you. You thought would destroy you. Sometimes you thought they would kill you, but you're still here today. Amen? We need to be thankful when things are going well. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shifting or shadow. It says the good things we have in our life is because of God. The person you are today is because of God. You couldn't have done what you've done. You couldn't have got to this place in your life if it hadn't been for God. You heard me say it many times. If it was not for God in my life, you wouldn't like me and I wouldn't like you. Because I was too selfish. It was all about me. But it took God working on our lives, church. And we need to thank Him. Thank God I'm not where I used to be. Maybe I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen? We don't want to be like those 17 passengers who He rescued, who never bothered even to say thank you. But sometimes we're that way with God. We forget to thank God. Thank God I'm still breathing today. Thank God I'm not in Scott and White or Bell County. Amen? Amen? God is the source of all good things. But sometimes, church, we forget to thank Him. Amen? Failing to have a sense of gratitude is actually ingratitude. There's a story about a man and woman who gave a generous donation to their church in honor of the memory of their son who lost his life in the war. When the announcement was made during a worship service, a woman sitting in the service whispered to her husband, "Let's give this same amount for our boy." Her husband was beside himself. He says, "What are you talking about?" He replied, "Our son wasn't killed." The woman looked at him and said, "That's just the point. Let's give it as an expression of our gratitude to God for sparing our son's life." There's a poem that goes like this. It's written by an anonymous writer. It said, "Today upon a bus I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, 'It's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find.' He turned and said, 'Oh, thank you, sir.' And when I saw that, he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment. Then I said, 'Why don't you join the others, dear?' He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I'm blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine." Amen. Like the story of the man who's complaining because he had no shoes until he met the man who had no feet. Amen? Amen? Expressing thanks to God for our blessings He has allowed in our lives, church, is a starting place of attitude of gratitude. Begin to thank God for the little things. If you begin to thank God for those little things He's done in your life, watch Him begin to do more things in your life. But if we're not thankful for the little things, God's not going to do anything else in our life, church, that we want Him to do. Amen? What is it in your life that you're most thankful for? Stop and think about that for a moment. What is it in your life that you're most thankful for? I'm going to read a part of a list that several housewives compiled. They wrote what they were especially thankful for. We're thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. For husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. We're thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy, you hate to see them go home to their own parents. For teenagers, because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. For smoke alarms, because they let you know when the turkey's done. Here's another list of some things a man wrote. He said, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, gutters that need cleaning because it means I have a home. For my huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. And for the piles of laundry because it means I have loved ones nearby. Now, church, our list might not all be the same, but I'm convinced that if we begin to make a list, we'd find that we have much more for which to be thankful than just our material possessions. Like you, I'm sure my list would include the major things: my life, my health, my family, my friends, and the nation we live in. Even with all its flaws, I can't imagine living anywhere else or being born anywhere else other than the United States of America. Amen? Amen. But most of all, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for the mercy that God showers upon us, church. Because of Jesus, we have so much for which to celebrate on Thanksgiving. Amen? Have you ever considered that no Americans were more underprivileged than that small handful on the Mayflower who started the custom of setting aside a day of Thanksgiving to Almighty God? They had no permanent homes. They had no government agency to help them build their homes. They had no means of transportation but their legs. Their only food came from the sea and the forest, and they had to get it for themselves. But yet they were thankful, church. You're not being thankful just when everything's going right. You need to be thankful when things aren't going right, because God is still in control. Amen? Being thankful for God's blessing is actually a no-brainer. Recognizing that every good thing is a gift from God, we should be thankful to Him, church. Even when some things, bad things happen in our life, it can still be a gift from God. Because God can use that bad thing to turn in and cause it to be something good. And it also helps us to learn a lesson and change the way we think about some things so we don't get in worse trouble than what we were. Amen? But an attitude of gratitude goes far beyond that, church. Number two, we need to be thankful in our prayers. Being thankful as we bring our requests to God. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. The trouble is, so many times we find ourselves running around telling everybody else all about our problems. And all they can give you is a little bit of advice based on their own experiences. What we need to do is just do what the Bible says and take these requests to Almighty God and do it with thanksgiving. Because once you've taken it to God, you've given it to Him, you put it in His hands, and you're trusting Him to take care of it, church, then you can begin to thank God for the answer because it's on its way. Amen? Because that's the God we serve. He said we can have that kind of confidence in Him. One of the keys to an effective prayer life is understand that prayer is to be entered into with an attitude of gratitude. Like 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, in everything give thanks. But the verse right before it tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. These two ideas are connected. Unfortunately, many people, especially new Christians, view prayer as a wish list. Gimme, 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 gimme. And what we present it to God. It's like we're coming to sit in Santa's lap and we tell Him all the stuff we want in our lives. Give me health. Give me wealth. Give me obedient children. Give me a promotion at work. Give me a miracle cure. Give me a boyfriend. Let me win the lottery. It's kind of like the one guy was crying out to God, I'm losing my house. I'm losing my car. I don't know what to do. He said, Lord, please let me win the lottery. And God said, work with me. Buy a ticket. Okay. Amen? But that's what we are so many times. We treat God like He's a magic potion or Santa Claus. We ought to be thankful, church. It's a privilege that you and I can go before Almighty God, that we can pray to Almighty God, and that Almighty God listens to our prayers, and that God wants to move in our life, and God wants to do things in life. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. Amen? I was listening to a man this morning preaching, and something really stuck out to me. You know, when you hear all people say, well, God gives you the power to get wealth. Think about this. God gives you the power. He does not give you the wealth. He gives you the wisdom. He gives you the understanding. 3 John says, Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Your mind, your will, and your emotions, your thinking, your choices, and you get your emotions under control. You make the right choices. You make the right decisions. Amen. And when you begin to do that, your life begins to prosper. Amen. And God can bless you. But we're so many times, we're like, we're sitting, oh, God, just drop it out of heaven and hit me on the head. God does not manufacture money in heaven, church. It's down here, and He uses people to be able to distribute it.
Amen?
Amen? But we've got to use wisdom. Wisdom is the understanding of the word that you apply. So many times we just want God to be like Santa Claus. And don't get me wrong, we're instructed to take our concerns, to take our needs to God. But that's not all prayer is. We overlook those two words, with thanksgiving. How many times we go before God and we tell Him all that? But we never go back and say, God, thank you. Thank you that you have enough time in your schedule to listen to little bitty me. Stop and think about that. That you're concerned about me. Church, when I first got saved, I always thought of God as a white-haired man on a throne over, and one of these days we're all going to stand before Him. I never knew that God wanted to be a part of my life. That God wanted to change me and mold me and shape me to become more like Him. That God wanted to help me to renew my mind so I didn't think the way I used to. Have that old stinking thinking. So that I could begin to prosper in my life. Amen? And we need to remember, when you come before Almighty God, church, it came at a high price. Jesus shed His precious blood to allow us to come into the presence of Almighty God. We need to realize that. It's a privilege. It's something we sometimes take so lightly, church. Amen? We need to be thankful for it. Every prayer we pray needs to be voiced with remembrance of what Jesus did to make our relationship with God possible. He said you and I can come boldly into the throne of God. Think about it. They didn't have that privilege in the Old Testament. The high priest would go in once a year. And if he had sin in his life, they had a little bell they tied on his ankle. And if he had sin in his life, he'd drop dead when he'd go before Almighty God. And they'd take a rope and they'd pull him out when they heard the bell quit ringing. Aren't you glad you don't have to wait on somebody else to go before God for you? Aren't you thankful that you can go to Almighty God? Amen?
Amen.
We need to recall how God's been faithful to us all along. Amen? We don't need to be like those passengers. They received the gift of life, but they never went back and said thank you. It's kind of like the 10 lepers. They come to God. Come to Jesus. Jesus told them, go on the way and show yourself the priest. And as they went, they began to get healed. 9 of them kept on going their way. 1 came back. And he wasn't even Jewish. He was a Samaritan. 1 Jew came back and told him thank you. The rest of them got healed. But Jesus, when he came back, because of that attitude of gratitude, because of that thankfulness, when he came back, Jesus didn't just say you're healed. He said you've been made whole. Church, we need to be possessors of gratitude, and we need to display our gratitude. When your wife burns your supper, boy, you don't have no problem telling her about how bad she burned supper, but do you ever just tell her, hey, thank you for cooking supper for me?
Amen.
I thought I'd get a bigger response out of the men for that.
Okay.
We're to be thankful in advance for how God is going to work all things together for our good. I don't know how it's going to work out. It doesn't look like it's going to make any sense. It doesn't look like it's all going to come together. But God, I'm thanking you because you're in control of my life. If you're big enough to take me to heaven, you're big enough to work out the things in my life. And I'm going to thank you for it. Not when I get it. I'm going to thank you for it in advance.
Amen.
Abraham said that God was able to do the things that he was promised. He was fully persuaded that God was able to do the things. Are you fully persuaded that God is able to do what His Word promised this morning?
Amen.
Amen. We're to be thankful that He loves us so and that He wants to give us what is best and good and perfect. Could you imagine if God was just the opposite? What if he wasn't a good God? What if he wasn't a loving God? What if he was the kind of God? A lot of people got God in this mentality. Man, when you mess up, God's in heaven just waiting to hit you with a lightning bolt. What if he's a... Can you imagine? But he's a loving God, church. He loves you. He loves you the mess you are. He loves you when you fall. He loves you when you fail. He loves you when you mess up. He still loves you. It doesn't change his love for you. What you do or don't do does not change God's love. We will be thankful in our worship, church. Being thankful as we connect with God. Hebrews 13:15 said, through him then let us continue to offer up sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. A sacrifice of praise. That means it's not easy. That means when you've got a bad doctor's report, when your bank account's saying you're in the red, when your children are misbehaving, or your wife or your husband comes in and says, I want a divorce. When things are not going good, you still offer up a sacrifice of praise. It's the fruit of your lips. Amen. That's what he's wanting, church. God, I don't understand all this. I don't know how it's all going to work out. It don't look good right now, but I'm going to offer up a thanks to you. I'm going to praise you because I don't have to be in control. You're in control. I just have to trust you. Colossians 3:16 says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Church, we've seen in previous messages that worship begins with a sense of reverence toward God. It begins by being expressed from our lips in thanksgiving. If you look at Psalm 100, it says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. He says if you're going to come before God, first you've got to have a reverent attitude toward God. And he says you're going to have to come with an attitude of thanksgiving. He says you enter into his gates. You get into God's presence with thanksgiving. If you don't have a thankful heart, church, you're not going to get in God's presence. It says right here, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks, bless his name. You're not going to get much from God if you go before God and say, oh, doom and gloom and agony, poor old me, same old, why does it have to happen to me? Amen. You know why? Because your focus is on you and not on him. Amen. That's true. You're not worshiping him, you're worshiping you. Amen. Psalm 100 was called a psalm of ascension. It's the song the Jewish people sang as they ascended to the Temple Mount. It's a song they'd be singing as they entered through the gates of the city of Jerusalem. And then they'd sing songs of praise as they entered into the inner courts of the temple area. Unless you have a heart that is thankful to God, you really can't worship him. So many people think song service is just singing songs to God. It's not singing songs. We are worshiping him. We are thanking him. We are praising him. We're asking God to allow us to enter into his presence. Sometimes it's hard to preach when we have a praise and worship service. It's kind of like... Because praise and worship opens up your heart so that you can receive the planted word of God. Amen? Well, I'm praising God. I just all the stuff I'm going through. Your heart's still not where it needs to be, church. Thank God that you're able to come here. Thank God you've got a God that you can praise, that you can serve. Amen? Oh, I'm just weighted down with all the stuff that I'm going through. We're all got stuff we're going through, church. But God is bigger than anything we're going through if we'll trust him. If we'll be obedient to him. There's got to be thanksgiving, church. Thanksgiving that you have the privilege to know God. And that you're allowed to be part of his plan on this earth. Being thankful then leads us into a more personal and heart-stretching area of praise. You look at someone that's developed a relationship with God. I mean, really has a relationship with God. You don't have to tell them to raise their hands. You don't have to tell them to worship and praise God. They want to. God has done so much in their life. They're so appreciative of what God's done. I used to come to church and people stand there like this, and I'm thinking, how can you just stand there and not get... Man, I want to open up to God. I want to tell God how much I... Man, you have done so much in my life. I'd be dead today if it hadn't been for you. I want to praise you. I don't care what this person thinks or what that person thinks. I didn't care when I stumbled around drunk on the bars and the beer joints and stuff like that. I didn't care what they thought when I was smoking dope and doing pills and doing all kinds. I didn't care what they thought about. So why I get so caught up and see so reserved when it comes to Almighty? Almighty God has done something. He's done more for you than the Dallas Cowboys have. Amen. You have that relationship. You get to know God. He's not up there. He's a God that cares about you. Amen. And you get to know that God. You want to worship Him. You want to thank Him. You want to praise Him. Amen. Amen. My wife wouldn't be sitting here today if it hadn't been for God. I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for God. Some of you wouldn't be here if you hadn't been for God. We've got something to thank Him about. So we enter His gates with thanksgiving, which then leads us into His inner courts with praise. Number four, we need to be thankful in our fellowship. Be thankful for other believers God has brought into our lives. Colossians 1:13 said, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Do you pray for other people other than just your four and no more? Like what Janelle said this morning, she said, I pray for all of y'all. Amen? We need to pray. If you know what? So many times we're just trying to find fault with each other. Instead of trying to find fault with each other, pray for us. If you don't like the way that person's doing, take it to God and let God do something about it. You've heard me say, if you don't like the way the pastor's doing what he's doing, pray and let God do something about it. Amen? Take it to somebody that can do something about it. It's reported Howard Hughes, when he was worth approximately $4 billion, said, I'd give it all for one good friend. Can you imagine? $4 billion. But he'd give it all for one good friend. In the early 1970s, UCLA football coach Pepper Rogers came under intense criticism and pressure. Things got so bad, he remembered with a smile that friends became hard to find. He described it this way, my dog was my only true friend. I told my wife that every man needs at least two good friends, and she bought me another dog. Boy, when you're going through problems, friends get scarce, don't they? When everything's going good and you're being blessed and you're prospering, you have no problem. Win the lottery and find out how many friends you got. Amen? But God has given us Christian friends, church, as a free gift from His grace and goodness. And part of it is part of His plan for us. Our view of one another as fellow believers should be one of gratitude. Thank God for bringing each other into our lives. He didn't say thank God just for the one you like that He brought in your life. Because even as Christians, there's going to be times you're not going to like someone's personality. You're not going to like how they do things or say things. But God said, be thankful that I brought them in your life. Because even the ones you like and the ones you dislike, I can still use them to help mold you and make you who you need to be. Sometimes God will allow people in your life like sandpaper. They will rub you the wrong way, but sometimes they're rubbing off some of that old stuff on you that needs to be rubbed off to make you more and more like Jesus. Amen? He said we should be thankful. I thank God for you here this morning. I wish this whole place was filled up. I hate it that there's a lot of people missing this morning. And when there's somebody not here, like I told Daryl the other day, he sits back here, he's so quiet, nobody ever, he just kind of stays to himself. I told him, I look to see if you're here. I drive up, I look to see if his van's sitting outside. We need one another, church. We should be thankful for one another. There's things, there's gifts and talents you have. There's gifts and talents I have. And we put them all together to make it what God wants us to be. Amen? And in doing so, we're touching people's lives. We're saving people from committing suicide. We're saving people from going to hell because of what God's doing through us. Amen? Number five, area we should be thankful in our suffering. He said, be thankful in every circumstance. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Colossians 3:15 said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. He said, you have to let the peace. What you're going through right now, I'm not making light of it, church. But what I'm saying is, God says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You have to let that happen. For some of us, we've had bad reports this week. We've gone through some bad things. And you have a choice. You can get all emotional, all upset about it, and it's not going to change anything. Or you can let the peace of God rule in your heart, put it in God's hand, leave it in God's hands, and let God work on it. Amen? And God doesn't need us telling Him how to do it either. Amen? Acts 16, verse 25 says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns and praise to God, and their prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas were in prison, church. It wasn't a federal prison. It was a dungeon. The sewer ran through it. Rats and all kinds of things down there. They were chained. They were cold. They were hungry. But it says they were singing praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Boy, if that was some of us, we would be singing something to God, but it wouldn't be praises. Lord, why'd you let me get thrown in jail? Why'd you let this happen to me? Why me, Lord? But they weren't focusing on themselves. They was focusing on God. And they began to sing praises, and the prisoners heard them. Church, when you're pressured, when things are coming down on you, whatever's coming in your mouth, out of your mouth, people are listening. They're paying attention. They're going to listen to you more when you're going through something than they are when everything's going right and you tell them how good God is. Amen? People are listening to what you say. And it's our nature, church. We're self-centered. It's all about us. So when things are tough, when things don't go as we'd like them to be, we tend to complain and grumble. Say, ouch, or oh me. We do. Well, God, that's not the way I thought it should go. That's not how I thought it was going to work out. That's not the person I thought you'd use. That's not the one I thought you'd send me. I didn't think you'd come this direction. We start murmuring and complaining. God, you're not moving fast enough. God, I need it right now. I don't need it tomorrow. I need it to happen right now. And I've told you time and time again, murmuring and complaining. The Bible says, it happened to them in the wilderness as an example to us, and they were destroyed of the destroyers. When you murmur and you complain, you open the door for the devil to come in and do what he does best, kill, steal, and destroy things in your life. You give him legal right. He says he's the accuser of brethren. He goes before God accusing the brethren. He can go before God and says, well, Janelle was murmuring and complaining. I have access in her life. She gave me legal right to come in and do what I'm doing in her life. But if you're praising God and you're thanking God, you shut that door. You don't give Him no place. In church, it's hard to be praising God and murmuring and complaining at the same time. Amen? Sometimes we get upset and we wonder why God has handled something in a certain way, and we seem like it's not fair to us. Church, we got tunnel vision. God sees the big picture. Amen? I'm reminded of the story of two men who were walking through a field one day and spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they wouldn't make it. Terrified, one of the men shouted to the other, put up a prayer, John. We're in for it. John answered back, I can't. I never made a public prayer in my life. The first man responded, saying, but you must. The bull is catching up to us. So John replied, all right, I'll say the only prayer that I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. With that, he began to pray, O Lord, for what we are to receive, make us truly thankful. Church prayer is a very important part of expressing gratitude. But it's more than just words that we say out of a habit or something we just recite and we repeat over and over. You've got to have an attitude of gratitude. And when you do that, it changes your perspective. We read the scripture a while ago about Zacchaeus. He was a little man. He wanted to see Jesus. So he did what he could do to see Jesus. And Jesus did not pass him by. He called him out by name. And he said, I'm going to your house. And when Jesus came to his house, church, there was a change in his perspective. Before, he was self-centered and selfish. And after that encounter with Jesus, he said, I'm going to give back anything I've cheated, and I'm going to give half all my stuff. He had a whole different perspective, didn't he not? Because he had an encounter with Christ. When you're going through some things, and you feel like the whole world's crashing in, you need to spend some time with God. You need to get in touch with Him, and it'll change your perspective. It'll change the way you see things. Amen? A mom and dad brought their son into the living room for a stern discussion of the boy's report card. Showing all F's on the card, the dad asked the son, What do you have to say about this, son? The son replied, Well, you could be proud of me, father. The father took, kind of taken back, said, Proud? Why would I be proud of you when you bring me a home or report card like this? The son then answered, Well, one thing for sure, I didn't cheat. Amen. Amen. Listen to this one. This one here will really make you appreciate your home life. In Budapest, a man went to a rabbi and complained, saying, Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do? The rabbi answered, saying, Take your goat into the room with you. The man was incredulous at first, but the rabbi insisted, assuring the man, saying, Do as I say and come back in a week. A week later, the man came back looking even more distraught than before. He told the rabbi, We can't stand it. That goat is filthy. So the rabbi told him, Then go home and let the goat out, then come back in a week. A week later, the man returned, radiant. He told the rabbi, Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat and only the 9 of us. Amen. Amen. That's right. We don't know how good we got it sometimes, church. One day, Matthew Henry, famed Bible scholar, was robbed by a man with a weapon. Writing about the event later, Henry revealed a faith-based perspective, saying, I have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful that God wrought such a change in my heart that it was I who was being robbed and not the one doing the robbing. I'm thankful that even though the young man took my money, he did not take my life also. I'm thankful that even though he took my money bag, there wasn't much inside of it. I'm thankful that I alone was injured and not any additional persons. I'm thankful that my life is so much more than earthly possessions God has granted to me in my journey here. And I'm thankful that even should I have lost my life in this encounter, I know heaven is waiting for me, where the riches of God's glory far outweigh the total of all man's possessions here on earth. That's the right kind of attitude. Amen. When Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison for preaching the gospel, we might expect them to feel sorry for themselves and complain about it. After all, here they are brutally beaten, and all they were trying to do was do something good. You ever felt like that? All I tried to do something good, and look what it's cost me. And then what happens? The devil wants to lead you down that road of complaining and murmuring. He wants you to take you down his path. That's when you got to make a choice. We've been talking about choices and consequences. That's when you got to make a choice. Am I going to give in to the way I feel? Am I going to murmur and complain and make things worse? Or am I going to do what the Word of God says? I'm going to begin to thank God and believe God's going to turn it around and make it for my good. Amen? They were praying and they were singing hymns, praising God in their prison cell. When Peter and John were arrested and thrown in prison, placed in the darkest part of the dungeon and threatened their lives, forever mentioned, they were told never to mention or talk about Jesus again, they refused to remain silent. Don't let the devil shut you up, church. Amen? Then when they were released the following day, they thanked God for the honor of being persecuted as believers and being identified as followers of Christ. You ever think about that? Sometimes we ought to thank God. Thank God that I'm a big enough threat to the enemy that he's coming against me. Thank God that I'm a big enough witness for God that people are talking about me, people are criticizing, people are mocking me, making fun of me. Thank God I'm doing it for Christ. Amen? Some people, there's not enough evidence that they're even saved. I heard a preacher say this morning, some of us, we're a poster child, and our picture should represent the book of Lamentations. Go around all the time, doom and gloom and agony. Church, we have so much to be thankful for. How could these people do this? How could they be thankful in the middle of what was the worst day and night of their lives, church? The key is they learned the secret of having an attitude of gratitude. Their attitude wasn't stopped by bad circumstances. Hear what I said. So many times, we can be thankful for God when things are going good. But when something bad happens, thank you goes right out the door. We forgot all about thanking God. Lord, this is bad, but I've been through worse, and you brought me through that. I didn't think I was going to make it, but you helped me make it. So I'm not going to focus on this problem. I'm going to focus on you. You're greater than anything I'm going through. You're greater than anything I could have to deal with in this life. So I'm going to begin to thank you. I'm going to praise you like it's already taken care of. Romans 4, 7, 4, chapter 4, it talks about counting things that be not as though they were. You got to start thanking Him. Begin to praise Him, church. There again, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. Begin to voice it. Begin to speak it out. Kind of like us men sometimes, we don't tell our wives how much we love them. So we don't, oh, they know I love them. Sometimes they need to hear it, church. Sometimes somebody needs to hear that word, thank you. Sometimes they just need to know you appreciate them. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, it was while he was in jail preaching the gospel. And you know what the theme of the book of Philippians is? Joy in the middle of your trials. How could he do it? How could he be joyful while chained to a Roman guard in the darkness of a jail cell? Paul explained that he had learned the secret of being content in whatever circumstance he found himself. See, some of us, we get this mentality. We get saved and we think God's going to make everything work for our good all the time. We're just going to have this bed of roses, never going to have a problem. No. True peace and true faith is when you're in the midst of these problems, you're still trusting God and you have the peace of God and you still have the faith of God. So many of us, we're waiting for everything. Oh, once I get this, if I make this much money, or my kids all get raised, or they all get out of the house, or I have this done or that done, then I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful. No. You need to be joyful now, church. You need to start right now being thankful. He learned through firsthand experience and a faith stretched through times of trials and testing to be thankful. Paul had a 24/7 attitude of gratitude. And I said, church, it opens up our lives for God's will to be done in us and through us. And most of all, for God's glory to be shown in how we handle difficult situations. So let's bring us all home. What's your GQ this morning? What is your gratitude quotient? Are you thankful today? In the middle of whatever circumstance you're going through, you can be. Philippians 4:13 was written immediately after Paul had explained his learning the secret of being content in whatever circumstances he found himself. Therefore, he stated, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He could only say that after he learned to be content, church. Then he believed that he could do all things. Do you believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you this morning? In other words, he said, I'm confident God will bring me through and bring me to victory regardless of what things look like at the moment. Are we practicing 1 Thessalonians? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are we practicing it? This week, not just because it's Thanksgiving. Stop and say thank you to somebody. Stop and tell somebody how much you appreciate them. And most of all, when you go before God to give Him your petition, stop and tell God how much you thank Him for, how much you appreciate Him. If you look at Paul when he's in his writing, the first thing he would do when he started to write, I give thanks, I give thanks, I give thanks. Church, you do that and you watch God move in your life like you've never seen Him move before. Amen? A 24/7 attitude of gratitude. That's what God wants us to have. Amen? Amen. If you don't have that, then I just bow your head and ask God to help you. Lord, help me to be more appreciative. Help me to be more thankful. Help me to have an attitude of gratitude. Don't go around full of envy and jealousy. Well, look at this, and boy, they're doing good, and God, you're not doing anything for me. Maybe God's not able to do anything for you because of that attitude. Amen? Get your heart right. Let God do what He wants to do in you. I'm thankful. I'm closing on this. We're almost through. I had, before I became a pastor, right after I got saved, we went to 6 different churches in Dallas and Austin, here in Temple. I had 6 different prophets ministers, pastors, all tell me the same thing. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, you'd be dead today. My sister and I were sitting over in Temple at the Mayburn Center, and a guy from Florida came up, and he called me out of a crowd of hundreds of people, and he asked me who she was, and I said, it's my sister. And he told me, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, she'd be putting flowers on your grave. Church, I don't care how bad it gets, I still thank God. I thank God He loved me enough not to leave me where I was at. He loved me enough to give me a purpose in His plan and in His kingdom, and that He's fulfilling that plan. And I do things just like, I get up every day, I have blue Mondays, I have days just like you have. But church, we can either focus on the problem or we can focus on God. And we get that attitude where you're focusing on God, you're going to become a lot more appreciative of what God's doing in your life. Amen? Give God praise and glory in the house this morning. My wife told me to keep it simple and short so the food doesn't get cold in the back. I hope that helps you. I hope this week you have a different attitude, church. Begin to look for something good to thank God for. It may look dark. It may look hopeless. But God's still in control. Amen? He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Thank you. I got it. Yeah. Thank you. I was thinking this morning, I could complain, God, why are you letting this happen to my knee? But I was, hey, thank you, God, I can still walk. Amen. Amen. Church, it's all about renewing the mind, getting your focus where it needs to be. We serve a mighty God, but He can only do what we allow Him to do in our lives. Amen. He can only change your heart if you allow Him. You have to invite Him in there. And like I said, some of the things we're going through, church, we brought it on ourselves. God didn't do it. The devil didn't do it. Somebody else didn't do it. We did it. But He loves you enough not to leave you there. If you'll stand, please.